Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30, 5. John 14, 23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. John 14, 23. Deuteronomy 31, 8. The Lord goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31, 8. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. If you'll also open your Bibles, Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. So we'll have two verses before us, Genesis 1, 1, Revelation 1, verse 8. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. I want you to realize that the Lord has been very good to us, blessed us so richly. I'm in the midst of 6 decades, wow, of preaching. That's a long time to be communicating with the awareness that there are so many things for us to learn. No matter how long you study the Word of God, you are going to discover that there are a lot of things that you do not know. And I certainly have discovered that. And so we're looking forward now to 24 messages between now and Christmas Eve. So it's going to be different over the next 24 messages. We'll be explaining that more in detail in a few moments. But I just wanted you to know where we are and where we're going for the next 24 sessions. Before we begin our study, let's bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we realize how important it is for us to open our hearts and minds to the magnificent teachings of the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of learning and growing and advancing, utilizing these magnificent truths. And that's our reason, again, for being here today. We're thankful for the fact that you've given us this magnificent book. You've given us the opportunity to grow. You've given us each and every day that we have to live, and we thank you for this particular day. Pray that you will guide us in these moments of study this morning. And we ask that you'll help each one of us to have open minds and open hearts to these magnificent truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read for you, first of all, Genesis 1, 1. Most of you are aware of the fact that it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you'll turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, you'll read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I want you to follow me carefully this morning, please. Depending on God's matchless grace, I will have 24 messages till Christmas Eve, 2015. I've decided to present Jesus in somewhat of a different way. 24 messages on Jesus from the Old Testament. He is actually very evident in every book of God's inspired scripture. He's the promised son to Eve that would crush the serpent's head to redeem her like Adam could not. He's the burning bush. He's the voice from the mountain. He's the atoning cover on the ark. He's the suffering servant of Isaiah, the fourth man in the midst of a fire furnace of Daniel, and he's a burden bearer of Amos. 24 messages to see Jesus in an abbreviated way in 39 Old Testament books. When I came to this point in typing this information for you, I wrote the word, wow. Then you'll notice I said, pray earnestly and stay close by to see what our Lord will do for us. I want you to realize that this has been for me an exciting beginning study. There are so many things for me to learn over the next weeks as I study through the books of the Bible, the books of the Old Testament, finding Jesus in every one of these books. Through the years, Bible professors, theologians have studied the books of the Old Testament, and they've made various captions about each one of the books. It's interesting to me to see that there are different ways to say that you can see Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. There are different ways, of course, to say that. That is, Jesus in every book of the Bible. There are many examples that I could give you, but I want to give you some today. I'll try not to go so rapidly that you cannot copy some of these, but I want you to know that I will go rapidly enough that you won't be able to get all of them. In Genesis, Jesus is the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the city of refuge. Now, I'm aware of the fact that you were not able to copy all of that. You'll be able to copy some of it because I'm going to repeat it now one more time. And then we'll go to the next section of scriptures. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the city of refuge. In Joshua, he's the scarlet thread out of Rahab's window. In Judges, he is our judge. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. And in Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he is our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of everything that is broken. I've given you time to look that over. I'll repeat. In Joshua, he's the scarlet thread out of Rahab's window. In Judges, he is our judge. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. And in Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of everything that is broken. In the book of Esther, he's the Mordecai sitting faithfully at the gate. In Job, he's our redeemer that ever lives. In Psalms, he is my shepherd, and I shall not want. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he's the beautiful bridegroom. And in Isaiah, he's the suffering servant. I'm sure that you're getting an idea that you cannot copy all of this, but you're also getting an idea of how Jesus Christ is presented in every book of the Old Testament. In Esther, he's the Mordecai sitting faithfully at the gate. In Job, he's our redeemer that ever lives. In Psalms, he's my shepherd, and I shall not want. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he's the beautiful bridegroom. And in Isaiah, he's the suffering servant. When you go to the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations, it is Jesus, the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the midst of a fire furnace. In Hosea, he is my love that is forever faithful. In Joel, he baptizes by means of the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he is our burden bearer. And in Obadiah, he is our Savior. I've given you time to look that over. I know you have not been able to copy it all. That's okay. In Jeremiah and Lamentations, he's the Jesus, the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the midst of a fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's my love that is faithful forever. In Joel, he baptizes by means of the Holy Spirit. In Amos, he's our redeemer, burden bearer. And in Obadiah, he's our Savior. In the book of Jonah, he's the great foreign missionary that takes the word of God into all the world. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger. In Habakkuk, he is the watchman that is ever praying for revival. In Zephaniah, he is the Lord mighty to save. In Haggai, he's the restorer of our lost heritage. Again, I want to repeat, we have some on the screen that you're able to copy a few of these. I'm trying to let you know that various theologians, various Bible scholars, various Bible teachers through the years have gone through the books of the Old Testament, those 39 books, and they were trying to present for us the way that Jesus, we find him in these individual books. And I'm just giving you here some examples. And in Jonah, he's the great foreign missionary that takes the word of God into all the world. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger. In the book of Habakkuk, he is the watchman that is ever praying for revival. In Zephaniah, he's the Lord mighty to save. In Haggai, he's the restorer of our lost heritage. And then in the book of Zechariah, he is our fountain. And in the book, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. I don't know what this does for you, but I've enjoyed looking at the various examples of what Bible scholars and Bible teachers through the years is looking at the various books of the Old Testament, and they came about with a caption for each one of these books. I've just given you an example. This morning we're going to begin with this wonderful journey with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Most of you know that verse, but we're going to be looking at it. I'm going to take all this out of the way so that you can get down to Genesis 1, 1. And I want you to see that what I'm trying to do is to emphasize Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. If you'll keep this in mind, it'll help you for the next 24 sessions. Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. Genesis 1, 1, you are familiar with it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what I want to do for you today is to tell you that in all my studies for all of these many, many years, I have never seen anything that's more exciting than what I see right now. And I'm going to try to get over this information, share my excitement with you, and perhaps you'll be able to be excited too when you see how fantastic this magnificent book is, the book of Genesis now and all the other books of the Old Testament. I referred you a few moments ago to Revelation 1:8, and I read that verse for you, Jesus saying, I am what? The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, what I want to do is to tell you very quickly that all of us are familiar with that statement. We've heard it many times. We're aware of the fact that the statement, I am Alpha and Omega, is actually the beginning letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. I'm sure that you are familiar with that. So we find Genesis 1:1 presenting to us something that we will find quite unique and quite interesting. I'm not teaching Hebrew, far from it, but I want you to see that on the screen now I have for you two letters. We're going to explain this as we move along. The first letter that I'm showing you, and you read Hebrew from right to left, and you probably know that, but I want you to see that the first word, first letter that you see on the screen is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is Alpha. And so you can spell it if you want to, A-L-E-F or A-L-E-P-H, Alpha. The last letter of the Hebrew language is Tav, T-A-V. And I have on the screen for you the various ways that this letter of the Hebrew language has been revealed to us through the years. Here's the early Hebrew. Here's the expression of the middle Hebrew. Here's the late Hebrew. And here is the modern Hebrew. If you can see that from where you're sitting, that's fine. If you can't, I just want you to see that I'm moving now to the two letters. What we're able to see here is Alpha, here is Tav, the two letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, what I want to do for you today is to tell you that many, many times we've looked at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and we have not been able to understand that the translators have not put it together like you and I would like to see it. So I'm going to put it together for you today, letting you see, first of all, the two letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Alpha in the English, in the Greek, Alpha and Omega in the Greek, Alpha and Omega. Here we have Aleph and Tav, T-A-V. Take a look at these. Can you see it very well? They're burning for you. I want you to see, and I want you to get in your mind these two letters. Perhaps I should go back and let you see it again, because it's interesting to discover that if you see this properly, you will see that the letters are very easy to understand and see. If you can't see this very well, again, take a look at this. There's the Alpha. There's the Aleph in the Hebrew. I keep saying Alpha and Omega because that's I'm more familiar with the Greek than I am the Hebrew. But I want you to see that this is the Hebrew first letter of the alphabet. Down here you see the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Tav. Now, I have these on the screen for you so that you can see them. I hope you can see them from where you're sitting. Here's Alpha. Here is Aleph. And here is Tav. So take a look. Good look at that. Now, perhaps you wonder where I'm going. I want you to see that if you were looking at the language of the Hebrew in the first chapter of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you would discover that, and you can't see this from where you're sitting, I'm aware of that. I want you to see that when you look at this, you'll find word 1, word 2, word 3, and word 4. Word 4 is not actually a word. It is the two letters, the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if you follow me so far, you're able to see that the translators didn't know exactly what to do when they found the Aleph and the Tav, first and last letters of the Hebrew language, in the original text. And so it was not translated. Now, let me see if I can share that with you, and we will see what we can do as we put it together. We would say then that Jesus is hidden somewhat in Genesis 1:1. If Jesus said in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and if we find the Hebrew alphabet in the first verse of Genesis 1:1, you'll have to say that there's a reason for it being placed there. Now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You're able to see this. The fourth word of the original text is a word that has been omitted from the English translation, and this word reveals Jesus in a profound way. Now, I don't know how you're listening. I don't know whether you're with me or not. But I want you to see that I'm finding something here that is extremely, extremely exciting. And I want you to see why I wanted to go this way as we find Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's the way it's translated. But we do not see the fourth word, which is not a word actually. We have the two letters, the first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's in the original text, but we don't translate it. It's not translated in any of our translations. The fourth word of the original text is a word that has been, or not a word, omitted from the English translation. And this particular word, or these two letters, reveal the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, in a profound way. Actually, the word omitted is not a real word, and that is the reason translators did not handle it or put it into the translation. Follow me, please. The omitted word, not a word, but two Hebrew letters, the first, last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, I've said this a bunch of times. I will continue to say it because I am aware of the fact that you have to hear it over and over again for it to sink in. And I want this to sink in on this first message that deals with finding Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. The omitted word, not a word, but two Hebrew letters, the first, last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph and Tav. Now you're able to see it more clearly. We translate those two letters in this way. In the beginning, the A to Z God created the heavens and the earth. Now take time to write this out. Take time to listen to it. Take time to pay close attention to it. Because what we're doing is we're beginning to see that Jesus Christ is presented to us in a profound way in the very first verse of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We translate those two letters in this way. Again, in the beginning, the A to Z, God created the heavens and the earth. Jesus reveals in Revelation 1:8, in the Greek language, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Are you with me? Let's look again at Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. If that's what's presented to us about Jesus in the New Testament, and we look at these two letters of the Hebrew alphabet in the Old Testament, we find again the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you have to understand that I've had many days of excitement as I've studied this. And I don't expect you to jump up and down and scream and holler with excitement now, but I want to get you a little bit excited about seeing what you find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Up to this point, if you've been listening carefully, you've been able to see that word for in Genesis 1:1 in the Hebrew language is not actually translated, because in reality it is not a word. It is the first and the last letter of the alphabet in the Hebrew language. If you've heard that twice, you're going to hear it over and over again. The omitted word, not a word, two letters, Hebrew letters, the first letter and the last letter, Aleph and Tav. We translate these two letters in this way. In the beginning, the A to Z God created the heavens and the earth. Now let's look again. When Jesus is speaking to us in his presentation in Revelation 1:8, he says, I am the Alpha, that's the beginning letter of the Greek language. I am the Omega, that's the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Look, if you will, please, how it's expressed. Who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, you have to understand that I've had an enjoyable time of studying all of this, and I'm trying to put it in such a way that it would be interesting and exciting to you. And so what I'm doing now, I see some of you are yawning, but don't do that, please. Wake up and stay with me. Let's look at this. You can't see this from where you're sitting, and that's okay. What I want you to do is what I have found various manifestations of how this word is used in Genesis 1:1. I notice that it says here, and I'm just going to point this out, that the first word in the Genesis 1:1 is in the beginning. Word one. Word two, created. If you're going to get your Hebrew Old Testament and look this up, you'll see exactly what I'm presenting to you. The first word is in the beginning. The second word is bara, which is the word created. The third word is Elohim, which is the word God. Then we see how the translators in this particular instance didn't know exactly, or they did and didn't want to present it. They just put down these two letters, the beginning and the ending letter of the Hebrew language, and they just wrote out by the side of it, accusative. Now, are you with me? And then they have in the heavens, which is a noun. We have the conjunction and then the earth. Now, I know that you didn't see that very well, and that's okay, because I saw it, and I came to the conclusion that you needed to see it more clearly. And so I've had fun putting this all together just for you folks here today. I want you to see I have it now for you, and I trust that you will be able to see what we have on the screen for you. That's the verse, Genesis 1:1, in the English on the one side, the Hebrew on the other side. Follow me. Word 1, word 2, word 3, word 4, which is not a word. You can see it now. It is the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. I think I ought to just stop and go home right now and let you think about that for 3 or 4 months. I want you to see something that perhaps you've never seen before. And that is in the original text, the Hebrew text of Genesis 1:1, we have in the first few words, four words. Word 1, word 2, word 3, word 4, which is not a word. It is the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. If Jesus said in the Greek, I am Alpha and Omega, what is he saying here? He's saying, I am Aleph and Tav. I'm the beginning and the end. Now, have you had fun so far? I have tried to decide how I can do this and present something in the first session, present something in the second session, and I realize that I may not have enough time to present all of this in the first session, but that's okay. I want you to know that that is precisely what the two Hebrew letters are saying. I'm the beginning and the end and everything in between. If that's what Revelation 1:8 says, that's what Genesis 1:1 says, presenting Jesus in Genesis 1:1. I'm the beginning, I'm the end, and everything in between. Jesus said in Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 1:8, I am the A and I am the Z. That's the reason why I named the title of this message today, the AZ. The one who is, the one who was, the one to come. And then I said, as I typed this, and I wanted to stand up and shout and let you know that I was having you in mind, is this clear now? Or do I need to start over? Is this clear now? Have you listened carefully? Do you understand what is being said? Who created the world? This hidden, Genesis 1:1, Jesus, but not revealed in the translation of the first verse of the Bible. John 1:3 says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Look at that. How fantastic that is. John 1:3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. I want you to be able to see today that I'm trying to emphasize that we are seeing Jesus so magnificently presented to us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 in the Hebrew language. Jesus is clearly identified as the Creator God, the A to Z God, who created everything that was created. What you're seeing now, and I'm putting it in large letters for you to be able to see, this is a profound confirmation of the identity of the man, Christ Jesus. If you will, please go back and look at the first verse. We reread Genesis 1:1 in the following way. In the beginning, the A to Z God, Jesus, created the heavens and the earth. Now, it's amazing to me to be able to see how fantastic the book of the Bible, the words that are presented to us, how great they are. Now, what I want you to know is we're going to go back and we're going to look again at what we had at the beginning. I want you to see those two letters. There is the Aleph and the Tav. I want you to be able to get into your thinking these two letters. From right to left, you see that these two words are presented, these two letters are presented as the fourth word in Genesis 1:1. From right to left, you see, first of all, Aleph, A-L-E-F. And then you see Tav, T-A-V. And I presented to you on the screen today the early Hebrew expression, how it was printed, Middle Hebrew, Late Hebrew, and the Modern Hebrew. It is amazing to me to be able to take a look at this and see how fantastic it is. what I did, I went and I found the Hebrew translation of all the verses of the first chapter. I found that I could take the first 10 verses and print them for you. And so I have them here, and I printed it for you, but you can't see it from where you're sitting, and that's okay. All I want to do is to let you see that what I've done is presented for myself verses 1, 2, 3, down through verse 10, and I took a look very carefully at Genesis 1:1, and I looked at word 1, I looked at word 2, I looked at word 3, and then I saw something which is classified as word 4, which is not a word at all. It is the first and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And I came to the conclusion that that is a magnificent presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. I'm surprised at myself for going so rapidly, getting to the point where I wanted to be at the close of the first session, and so I'm going to stop right there. So all the information I have in the next session, I'll present in the next session. Don't stay too long at the break, please. Come back and I'll be ready to go again. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to open our hearts and minds and eyes to the beautiful scriptures of the Word of God. We realize that Jesus Christ is the one presented to us in every book of the Bible. And we're thankful today that Jesus Christ is God's Son and the Savior of mankind. We're thankful that God, the Heavenly Father, was willing to give His Son, the Lord Jesus, so that He could come to this earth and become the God-man to go to the cross and pay for the sins of the world. We're thankful indeed for Jesus because we realize so much that He's done for all of us. First of all, He's redeemed us by His matchless grace. We realize that the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." Jesus has done that for us. We've accepted Him. He's accepted us. We've been born into His kingdom. We've been regenerated by the power of the Spirit of God. We're thankful for that. And right now we pray that those who hear this message, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, will become aware of the fact that God has for them the greatest joy and happiness that any could ever come to life. And that's the happiness of knowing Jesus Christ and being saved by His matchless grace. We're thankful that the Bible says, "He that has the Son has life." But it also says, "He that does not have the Son does not have life." And we pray that there will be those who will realize their need right now of accepting Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Didn't say hope so, maybe so. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We pray that there will be those who will do that just now. We realize that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." There's only one way of salvation. That's by faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those, even at this very moment, who will realize their need and accept Jesus Christ. They pray the prayer, accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we thank You again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.